Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the NovaCare Complex. Dave Spadaro with you. A special edition here of Eagles Live. Of course, Andy Reid scheduled to meet the media in about a half an hour. His first address to the media, a public forum here for the first time since the Eagles beat the Redskins that night to end the 2011 season. It's been a long, long month of waiting, wondering, what's this football team going to do? Why is Andy Reid waiting so long to speak? He'll answer all of those questions and then some. In just a little bit here, then we'll get him in studio. I guess for the next half hour, I'd like to take some phone calls and find out from you, what do you want to hear Andy Reid say? You know Juan Castillo's coming back as the defensive coordinator. Todd Bowles hired yesterday as the defensive backs coach. He'll run the secondary. A little different situation. In the past, it had been a safeties coach and a cornerbacks coach. Now it'll be Bowles overseeing Michael Zordich, who will specialize in the safeties. So a little different arrangement there. I'm not sure at this point how many people really care about that, but an interesting signing and just a long, long month of speculation of Steve Spagnuolo of why is it taking the Eagles so long to do something? Well, they did it, and now Andy Reid will meet the media here in just a little bit. As you see across the hallway there, the media is starting to gather. Should be at Packed House for the Andy Reid press conference. 215-339-6709. Let's go to the phones right now. Let's talk to Joseph in Delaware. Joseph, good morning.
Hi, Dave. I'm a first-time caller, but I just want to ask you, what do you think of Bowles, Todd Bowles?
I think Todd Bowles is a good coach. He's got a good track record. I can't say that I know him very well, although we are Temple Owls, but his track record is of being experienced. He's had good success. Very highly regarded, you know. I think it's a good hire. What do you think? More importantly, what do you think?
I mean, he seems like a pretty good coach. But like, do you think like him and you think he's gonna have like a good say in what the defense does because he is like an experienced coach?
Let me ask you this question, Joseph. Is the real question that you ask, and I've seen this kind of speculated since the news broke yesterday. Are you concerned, Joseph, that Todd will kind of overpower Juan in terms of his relationship with the players? I saw it suggested that, well, why don't they just name Todd Bowles the defensive coordinator? Is that part of what you are thinking here? I'm trying to get an idea of what fans are thinking.
I think, you know, everyone knows that Juan, he runs it. But, I mean, I think that, you know, Bowles being, you know, like a – one of the best defensive back coaches in the league with getting like a lot of head coaching interviews or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that him and Juan, like, he's gonna have some, you know, like, or that Juan's gonna, like, you know, listen to him a lot though, or like, you know, just like help him out, and you know, they can all work together with Juan being the main guy. But you know,
yeah, well,
I mean, like Juan or Washburn, you know, they work together, him and Juan. So I mean, I'm thinking Todd Bowles can, you know, have a, you know, pretty good say in what they do.
I mean, Juan
ultimately will probably have the final decision.
Joseph, I would think that Todd will have significant input into the game plan, as will Washburn and Caldwell and Zordich, for that matter. I mean, what they do is they sit during the week after game Monday and Tuesday, and they put together the game plan.
Mm-hmm.
Then they work on that during practice. They break into individual position meetings and go over with their individual players in those positions their responsibilities for game day. When game day comes, it will be Juan Castillo calling the defense. Now, will he have input? I'm sure there'll be some input, but things happen so quickly that Juan will be the guy calling the plays on Sunday. So I thought he improved a lot in that area last year beyond just the last four games. Again, though, when you're playing the likes of Drew Brees and and Stafford and Cam Newton comes to town next year. I mean, the schedule on paper here gets significantly more difficult. The quarterbacks are going to be better than the quarterbacks he faced for a lot of 2011.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to do a better job.
Yeah.
He's got to grow very quickly. Juan has to grow very, very quickly this year. And that's the hope. Andy Reid believes in the guy. I think he thinks he had a great hiring in Todd Bowles. You see the resume here. He's been around the league a long time in a variety of defensive positions and as well as the position of interim head coach the last three games in Miami. So I think it's on paper. Again, I'm giving you my perspective here from inside the organization. I'm excited about the makeup of the defensive coaching staff. At the same time, I think it's fair to wonder, you know, is Juan ready to make that next step with so much on the line with Andy Reid and his coaching staff in 2012? I think it's fair questions.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about the report that Andy Reid never considered firing Juan?
Well,
do you believe that? I mean,
yes.
We might find out in this
yes.
press conference.
No,
but.
And thanks for the call, Joseph. I do think that Juan was going to be here regardless of what happened. Look, at 4-8 during the 2011 season, you look like you're going to blow the whole thing up. And while the interesting part is Jeffrey Lurie says, hey, those last four games, fool's gold if you think everything's fixed. Everything's not fixed here. I don't think anybody believes that. But I do think, obviously, Andy Reid believes in his coaching staff. Now, how much will the roster change? It could be very significant. Do the Eagles retain DeSean Jackson? What do they do with Asante Samuel? They've got three picks in the first, 47, 48 picks? What do you do there? How do you help this defense? I think we'd all agree the offense is much further along, personnel-wise, than is the defense. Chris in Virginia joins us. Hi, Chris. Andy Reid will be along here in about 20 minutes. We're taking some phone calls from you. And, Chris, the question is, what do you want to hear Andy Reid say?
I just want to obviously Juan's coming back.
Juan is coming back, correct.
I guess Marty's coming back as well, since, there was talk of him going to be the Colts coach, possibly.
Right, Marty will be back.
I don't know. I mean, I just want to see kind of what his thoughts are going forward. I mean, after this season of disappointment, I just want to see what he has to say. I mean, it's been a long time since we've heard from him.
Yeah, I it's weird, though, Chris, isn't it? We're actually in a position where we're waiting for Andy Reid to say something.
Yeah.
13 years of Andy Reid really not saying a whole lot during press conferences. All of a sudden, I think he's going to be asked some tough questions today. I'm interested to see what his answers are. He's not going to tell you about the future. I really think the thrust of this press conference is, how did we get to this point with the Eagles defense, with the coaching staff? How do you feel about the team right now? Because if you ask Andy Reid where you're going to go with the roster, what decisions you're going to make, you're not going to have an answer. There's just not going to be answers. And I think that's frustrating to people, and I get that, but this is a guarded man. Now, coupling all that is, Jeffrey Lurie had that press conference and was extremely expressive in his disappointment about 2011. And at that time also addressed Andy's demeanor with the media. So I'm interested to hear how the reporters pitch that to the head coach. Hey, do you like us, Andy? Do you like us? I don't know what he's going to say. But we'll see here, 20 minutes away.
Yeah, same here, Dave. That's what I'm looking forward to see. Because like you said, in the past, I like Andy Reid's press conferences. I like how he's sarcastic. If anything, I'd rather him give little information than too much information.
Yeah. Well, you're one of the few people I can honestly say, Chris, that I've talked to who likes Andy Reid's press conferences. Thank you.
I find it funny, the media, sometimes it can be a little bit annoying, so it's nice to see him, throw a little sarcastic comment, a little laugh here and there.
Well, hey, thanks for the call, Chris.
Definitely.
You got it, man. Thanks for the call. We'll find out what Andy Reid has to say. We're going to take a little break here on Eagles Live, special edition on this Tuesday from the NovaCare Complex. Dave Spadaro with you. Glad to have you with us on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Andy Reid coming your way in 20 minutes. His state of the team address between 2011 and 2012. What will he say? It's coming up in just a few moments.
Opportunity, opportunity is knocking at your door. Opportunity knocks but once and don't come back no more. Grab it in the night, grab it in the day, grab it right now, it'll get away. You better snatch and grab it. Snatch and grab it.
Buy and sell tickets safely and securely at NFL.com Ticket Exchange.
It's time for the annual shareholders meeting. There'll be the usual presentations on research and development. Some new members of the team will be introduced. The chairman emeritus will distribute his usual wisdom. And you? Well, you're the chief life officer. You just need the right professional to help you take charge.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
What makes Acme fruits and vegetables taste so delicious? Make your meals come alive with the tastiest fresh fruits and vegetables you always get at every Acme.
For more on Todd Bowles, we bring in Ben Volen from the Palm Beach Post. And you had a chance to get to know Todd. What kind of coach is he? What strengths does he bring to the Philadelphia Eagles defense?
He's an excellent communicator. Was one of the first things that I noticed when he became the Dolphins interim head coach. You know, it's funny, he'd been with the team for 4 years, but until Tony Sperano was fired and Todd Bowles was the interim head coach, we never really heard from him much in the media. He didn't give press conferences or whatever. And the players, honestly, the players outside of the defensive backs never really had heard Todd Bowles. He wasn't someone who had addressed the team often or even at all. But, he's very simple and direct. And, you know, he obviously brings a wealth of experience to the position, having played defensive back for the Redskins and other teams in his career, played in the Super Bowl, been a coach now for the last 11 years. And he's the guy whose name keeps popping up for those defensive coordinator and head coaching jobs. I know he didn't land one this time, and he's probably a little disappointed that he didn't become a defensive coordinator. But it's only a matter of time, especially because, you know, his name that's constantly popping up year in and year out. The Dolphins considered him as their defensive coordinator before ultimately deciding to give Joel Philbin that power. Todd Bowles was not someone the Dolphins wanted to let get away. He developed a great relationship with the young cornerbacks over the last few years. Dante Davis, Sean Smith has really helped them in their development from rookies to third-year players. So this is going to be a tough loss for the Dolphins and a nice add to the Eagles coaching staff.
Is there a particular style that you would say emerged from the Dolphins' defensive backs over these last four seasons?
Todd Bowles is all about just getting each player ready to play. He presses each player is different. Every player has a different button. For some of the younger guys like Vontae Davis and Sean Smith, yeah, they have a lot of swagger and all that. They were first and second round picks. Todd Bowles was the guy who gave them a little bit of a reality check. He was the guy who kept reminding them, you got to grind, you got to work hard, and you got to act like a professional. And I think you really saw the result of that this year. Vontae and Sean had excellent second halves of the season, especially Vontae Davis. And I think Todd Bowles has a lot to do with that. and even frankly, you know, the performance of the team when he was the interim head coach, they went 2-1, and their one loss was a 3-point loss to the New England Patriots on the road in the second half. They almost pulled off a nice upset there. They had convincing wins over the Jets and the Bills. And this is a guy who had never, like I said, never really addressed the team before, never been a head coach before, and the Dolphins really didn't skip a beat with Todd Bowles. So, you know, I think he's just a coach who's done a good job over the last 4 years of getting to know each player, knowing which buttons to push. He doesn't have a single style that he tries to apply to all the different players. He gets to know the players, and he's good at pushing their buttons and figuring out what makes them work and what makes them play to their fullest potential.
Thank you very much for providing that perspective on Todd Bowles, the newest Eagles coach for this defensive coaching staff. Thanks so much, Ben.
You can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
What makes Acme fruits and vegetables taste so delicious? Make your meals come alive with the tastiest fresh fruits and vegetables you always get at every Acme.
Teva Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community. For more information on the program, please visit the Community Relations page on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're enjoying a great 2011 season together. Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the Community.
The Eagle season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
What shall we do with this bounty of ice cream from our Lancaster County Dairy?
Share with the neighbors.
I did, but you keep making more.
We use only the finest wholesome ingredients. It's too good not to share.
Let's take it to the market.
What shall we call our ice cream?
Gobble, gobble.
And that's how Turkey Hill Dairy came to be. Imported from Lancaster County.
We take a look into the auditorium where all the cameras are lining up and the media starting to file in and get their seats. Andy Reid will meet the media here in just a few moments. Let's take some phone calls here while we can. Sam in South Dakota joins us. Sam, welcome.
How are we doing, Dave?
Okie dokie. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Good.
I'd like to first start off by congratulating you on your show. I think it's phenomenal. As an Eagles fan in South Dakota, I don't get any coverage of Eagles anywhere near me, so I log on to your show and
watch
it as often as possible.
Thank you. And it is available on your phone, your iPad, your iPhone, your Droid. Eagles Live is wherever you need it to be.
Well, I've got the app on my iPhone, and that's where I watch it most often, and
great,
on my computer. So, like I said, can't thank you enough. South Dakota doesn't get enough Eagles. So,
thanks.
Job well done.
Thank you.
My question for you is, I've heard some speculation that Bowles was brought in as kind of an emergency plan. If Reed doesn't do well, then he's possibly there to be groomed as the next head coach. I'm just wondering what your thoughts
are. Yeah, I've read that. I would guess that Andy would be asked that. That is completely not the plan. You know, you don't go in hiring people expecting the worst. They hired Todd Bowles because he's a really good coach. He fits into what Juan wants to do defensively. And they think he'll have a very good rapport with the defensive backs, a talented group that was up and down in 2011. They didn't have enough interceptions. The tackling was certainly off and on. And Todd really preaches that physical style of play and getting to the football. So, no, I've read that, and I don't believe that to be the case at all. I don't go into a season, and listen, I don't know how Jeffrey feels, but you don't go into a season saying, okay, look, I like our team, I like Andy a lot, but if he really struggles and the team is terrible, then this is what we're going to do. I think you make that decision when you're in the course of it.
True. The other question I have for you is regarding Asante. Do you see him getting traded? And if so, what do you think the Eagles can get for him?
It's a good question. I know people are talking about it. I don't know. You know, I will say this. There's no decision that's been made. There's no deal that's in the works as we look at the show on our Verizon, the droid. Nice. Nice fingerprints all over the place on that phone. You know, I think Asante is a great commodity. I think he could be back. I think if you have these three cornerbacks, and I'm talking about Nnamdi and Asante and Dominique, it's difficult. You know, who's playing the slot? I think the Eagles need to identify that slot cornerback, whether it's Hoselio Hansen, whether they think it can be Curtis Marsh. I think it's 50-50 whether Asante comes back. I think it's 50-50 whether DeSean Jackson comes back. And I think the Eagles, obviously, they are open to moving people. They've done it forever. What can Asante bring you? Boy, I'd love it. I'd love it to be high draft picks. Love it.
And they had a deal worked out that fell through last year for a second, didn't they?
That is the report that Detroit was offering, I believe, 2 second-round draft picks for Asante. I don't know the truth of that rumor. But, you know, I remember talking about it, Sam, all during preseason and the training camp especially. Why would you trade Asante Samuel if you're not going to help your team this year? And that meaning 2011. So they didn't trade him. And quite frankly, you know, it was up and down at the cornerback position. Dominique was not productive until he went out to the outside and started when Asante was hurt. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie is a quality starting cornerback. Obviously, so is Asante Samuel and so is Nnamdi Asamoah. You have some options there for the Eagles, and they've always been good about moving their assets. So either they keep him and the contract goes up, or they move him and see what they can get. I don't know. I don't have a feel for it.
Do you know if Steven Tulloch's name came up at all?
Of course it comes up. But let me just explain this, though. The Eagles had an opportunity to add Steven Tulloch last year. I can't tell you how Steven Tulloch played. I watched the Lions a little bit. I saw them against the Saints, and they got torched, but that's not on Steven Tulloch. Here's a list of some prospective unrestricted free agents. If he hits the market, the Eagles will make a decision. I mean, they're going to address the linebacker positions. I don't know how. I don't know whom. They don't know yet. They are a ways away from finalizing their plans. Right now, they evaluate and provide the grades and the reports on all these players. And then in the next couple of weeks, they'll strategize and get ready for free agency. I mean, I think the emphasis, though, Sam, to be honest with you, I think the emphasis, first and foremost, is signing their own players. And that includes Mathis. And that includes DeSean. And that includes, you know, Trevor Laws, Derek Landry, etc. 11 players scheduled to be unrestricted for free agents, 10 of them unrestricted. And I think the Eagles would like to retain as many as possible.
They have to get Mathis back. If they lose Mathis, that would be awful. They have to get him back.
He played well. You know, you do want to have some continuity up front along that offensive line. Now, look, I think Evan wants to come back here. I think the Eagles want to keep Evan. That's a good starting point, you know. And I'd love to have the guy back. He played great, good locker room guy. Plus, we want to use him. He's a great Twitter. He has a great Twitter account. We want to use him on the air next year on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. So, Howard Mudd knows what he's doing, and I think he really came. The offensive line came a long, long way, and I expect it to be, if you can retain Mathis and then get the young players, Kelsey and Watkins, better, you can have one hell of an offensive line.
All right, Dave. Well, I just want to thank you again, man. I appreciate it, all the hard work that you do, and like I said, coming from probably the lone Eagles fan in the entire state of South Dakota, it's a good time, and
hey,
I enjoy your show.
Hey, Sam, thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you.
All right.
Have a good day.
You got it. You too. All right. That is Sam in South Dakota. Andy Reid. Let's take a look in the auditorium here so we can get another phone call ready to roll. Auditorium. Let's give me the franchise. There you go. Not that many guys there yet. But there's, let's see, wait. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 or 11 cameras there. So this press conference will be covered from every angle. 215-339-6709. Let's stay in Philadelphia. Let's talk to Herb. Herbie.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Good. What's on your mind?
Andy, I mean, look, I don't think he's going to say too much, and I don't know why people are all that concerned what the coach says. It's what they do. You know, I mean, there's so little he can really tell you about what they're really going to do.
Well, but I think it's important that he explains what he has done.
Okay.
And so that to me is the value of this press conference. Not, hey Andy, are you going to keep DeSean Jackson? Hey Andy, are you going to run 3-4 defense? Hey Andy, are you going to, you know, turn the ball over less frequently next year? It's more like, hey, what have you been doing for the last month? Why Todd Bowles? Why Juan Castillo? Just discuss how you feel about things.
Yeah, you're right. As far as Todd Bowles, I hope I didn't think the secondary played at all well last year. I don't think that's any like great news or anything, but.
Mm-hmm.
The cornerbacks or the safeties, and hopefully he can help that. I mean, we had tremendously talented corners that didn't live up to that, and our safeties played poor, and there may be good or bad reasons for that, but that work has to improve, and maybe he's the man to do that. If so, I hope so. I know he's very experienced, and we do need that help.
Does it improve by talent? Does it improve by the scheme? Does it improve by coaching? Does it improve internally, the players getting better?
Well,
you know, how do you get the secondary? We focus so much here, Herb, on getting the linebackers and the safeties better. Is that going to happen?
Well, you have to have both. The what a coach does is gets the best out of whoever he has in front of him.
Yep.
If it's a bad player, he still plays better. But he can't. There's only so much a coach can do. He has to maximize the player's ability. If the player's ultimately not good enough, it's not going to matter. But maybe, you know, a good coach can take a decent player and make him into a very good player. And therefore help the team. Or he takes a very good player and changes into a terrific player.
Right.
So to that extent, the coaching, you know, matters a lot. Like, you see the line with Howard Mudd.
And listen, with Jim Washburn, too.
The defensive line, I know he's taking criticism, but those guys are getting sacked.
You know, Herb, I had a conversation with somebody the other day. We're talking about the nine technique, which I think Jim would rather it be called than the wide nine. And somebody said to me that, and I don't remember the exact number, but the Giants in the NFC Championship game, according to what this person told me, used the nine technique, the wide nine, 32 out of 61 snaps, 31 out of 62 snaps, something like that.
I think
where they move the defensive end out,
yeah,
3 feet.
The tight end side goes out beyond the tight end.
And that is the extent of the difference.
But the other thing I think what he does is the initial movement from all the
is up the field.
Linemen is going after that quarterback
it's up the field.
Adjust.
A lot of teams do the up the field. Some do the read and react. But
yeah, that's what he does. And to me, it comes down to how good a coach is he. I don't care about the scheme as much as how well he coaches.
Mm-hmm.
If he's a terrific coach, then you deal with that scheme and you make your team better by dealing with it. Am I making sense? I mean,
yeah. Well, they listen. They need to make better second level tackles.
They need right. That it's not on. You know, Washburn's players played well. To me, I mean, what's the difference between Jason Babb and the first time he was here and the second time?
No, it's huge.
Here?
It's he's got space in which to work.
Right, and he's playing with confidence and his value to the team.
Yeah.
So yeah, the guy's done a nice job. You have to improve other areas too, but I think they got two terrific coaches when they got Howard Mudd and Jim Washburn, especially Mudd. Mudd is unbelievable, I think.
Well,
but,
I love the way the offensive line is looking. There's going to be some questions there. I mean, King Dunlap is a free agent. What do you do with Winston Justice in a pretty significant contract? Jamal Jackson didn't play last year.
My best guess is they trade Jamal for whatever they can get.
Or release him and give him a chance to go elsewhere.
One or the other, yes.
All right, hey Herb, it's showtime, my friend.
Bye-bye.
All right, Andy Reid, guys. There he is, making his way up to the podium in the auditorium of the NovaCare Complex. We will get him in studio after he's done with the media across the way.
All right. Listen, I appreciate your patience over the last few weeks here of getting a summary of my feelings on the season. I thought it was important that I step back and, particularly coming off an 8-8 season, step back and take a thorough look at things, in particular starting with myself and the job in which I did this year, and then the coaching staff, the players, direction we might decide to go in free agency and then begin on the draft. So I was able to do that over the last few weeks, and we were able to finalize the spot that was vacant on our staff by bringing in Todd Bowles. And I had a chance to, obviously evaluate the coaches and what we did as a team. Coming out of that, I felt that both sides of the football and special teams, we've got room to improve, a tremendous amount of room to improve. And starting with the defensive side, the obvious question was, I know amongst you, was Juan Castillo and his situation. Juan will remain as the defensive coordinator. Todd will coach the secondary, and then we'll move on. Everything else will remain the same that we have. There's order to also work with the safety. So the secondary, with the exception of Todd, will stay exactly what it was. Steve Spagnuolo, I know, was another topic, and one that I understand. He's a fine football coach. Steve and I are good friends, and we talked throughout the season, as we do every year. When Steve was released from the Rams, I did offer him a spot here to coach, and if he needed one, a place to land, and with open arms. And my feeling was that if you could have two great coaches on defense, that's even better than just having Juan himself. So, and that's about as far as it went there. We didn't talk about titles. We didn't go into any of that. He had opportunities to look at other places. He wanted to do that, which I completely understand. And he ended up going to New Orleans. And he had a couple other teams that were interested in him. And so I think that's a positive for him. He feels good about it, and that's the most important thing. Finishing up the staff, I wanted to make sure that I brought somebody in. I felt this way going through the process, that just as Marty and I have an opportunity to bounce things off of offensively, that Juan had somebody with some experience to bounce things off of defensively, where that ran somewhat the same scheme, and that's where Steve fit in nicely, and it also fits in nice with Todd. So the things that Todd's done in the secondary and the back end are very similar to the things that we do here, and the things that we evolved into doing as the season went on, and we became a little more experienced down the middle of our defense. So this should be a nice fit, and makes a good solid position. Todd is an individual who has a nice resume and an opportunity to sit in the head coaching position down there at Miami as interim head coach. Interviewed with the Raiders as the head coach, and had a couple offers to be a coordinator in the league, and decided that he would like to come here, kind of back home where he went to school and has family. His fiance's from here, her parents live here, and so on. So it was a nice fit, and we're able to bring in a heck of a football coach, and Juan and he have a good relationship. They've met here over the last couple of days, and they get along well, and so it'll be a good fit there. On the offensive side, really everything remained the same. On the offensive side, we need to go back and make sure that we take care of business with a turnover situation there. You know, we had five games that we lost in the fourth quarter, which was something I really wanted to focus on over the last few weeks. And those five games, we only scored 3 points. And so we're better than that. We need to make sure that we dig in on that. And again, I thought we made progress as the season went on both sides of the football. And then we've got to work on a return game and special teams. The defensive, the special team staff will remain the same, and then we've just got to get better in the return phase of special teams. All right, so with that, I'm going to leave the time to you if you have any questions.
Andy, I was wondering if you listened to Jeff Lurie's statement when he met with us and followed that. He spoke as like he faced this big question of whether to keep you or not, and what your reaction was to that and his remarks 2 weeks ago.
Well, listen, I understand there's a business firsthand. I completely understand that. And I've always appreciated the support that Jeffrey's given me here, along with Joe Banner. And they've given me every opportunity here to win football games and have been positive influences. So I appreciate that. I do know, though, 8-8's not good enough. So what he said, I agree with. I mean, there's no different feeling on this end. As coaches and as players, we're sitting here watching, and we don't like to watch. It's that simple. And again, we even though we finished strong and hot and all that stuff, that wasn't good enough. And every season, I've told you, in the National Football League is different, and it wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough for the coaches and the players that we have here.
About those last four games as being sort of fool's gold if you grabbed on them too tightly. How did you view those last four games, and as you've gone back and reviewed them, what are the circumstances that led you to getting caught there?
Well, listen, I think there's some positives you can take out of it, just as far as the attitude of the football team, guys coming together, the young guys improved. I mean, there's some good things there that you can take out of it. The bottom line is, and this is where the fool's gold comes in, is we're sitting right here. So we won the last four games, but it wasn't good enough. And so I'm big on the reality of things. And we've got to do better. Bottom line, we've got to do better.
Yeah, fourth quarter losses, and you mentioned the offense struggled there. Obviously, defense has a role in that as well. How much do you put that on the defense, and what was your thinking in deciding to stick with Juan as opposed to making a change there?
Yeah, let me just say this. My point is, it's not the offense, defense, and special team. You can't single one of them out. My point is that it's everybody together, and that's when you go back through and you analyze this, that's what you see. And as we got better throughout the season, obviously, we started winning games when we came together as a team and played together as a team. When one group, whether it was the offense, gaining 500 yards and having four or five turnovers, even though the numbers are good, that's not good enough. Whether it's the other team scoring in the red zone, that's a problem that we need to fix. Third downs, we need to fix that. Now, when it was all said and done, you can look at the numbers and compare them to other teams, and the numbers aren't bad. You can take the defense and you can say, listen, in the NFC, we were second in points allowed and third in total defense and that whole deal, but it wasn't good enough, right? It wasn't good enough. You can put all the stats together, all the yards you want to put together offensively, that wasn't good enough. We didn't win the game. And so we've got to do a better job collectively, and that was a positive that I saw towards the end. The guys actually pulled together and played as a football team. So there's something you can pull out of that and take with you into the next year. That's one of the things that you can pull out and do.
At what point did you decide that?
Will he have more input in terms of scheme and game day decisions than a normal position coach?
Now, Todd's a secondary coach, is what Todd is. Now, listen, I know Juan and how Juan operates, and so Juan makes he pulls the best out of all the guys, and the one thing Todd has is he does have experience, and he's a sharp guy. Juan and I were able to put him through an interview process, and he did a nice job with that. The recommendations from Bill Parcells, from guys like the Bill Parcells, the people that he's worked with, are phenomenal. And the Speranos, the Mike Nolans, I mean, all the people that he's worked with, they carry this guy at such a high level. And listen, I haven't worked with him, so I was curious as anybody else was bringing him in here. I had heard such great things, and he came in and did a nice job.
At what point did you know that you decided Juan was coming back as your defensive coordinator?
Well, listen, I never really was at that point. I just stepped back and kind of evaluated the whole situation. It never really came down to that. That didn't even work in the equation. Juan was going to be there, and as you know, in this league, titles are thrown all over the place. And my feeling was with Spags that both those two together, I just thought could be dynamite, right? And so when that didn't come about, then I went and said, all right, that's not a problem. We open it up, and I'll look at a couple other guys. And so I went about that process and looked at different people that I thought could fit in there. And work and make us stronger as a football team, as a staff, and no different than I would on the offensive side or the special team side.
Why was Juan at the Juan was at the Senior Bowl and he was asked, "What is your status?" And he was giving.
I talked to Juan throughout the process, but that never really came about. I mean, we never went in that direction and. That part I never addressed. I just never went there. So I know a lot of things were out there and written, and that's all part of it. So
speculation, though, Andy.
I mean, were you open at that time? Did you say that to him becoming a defensive coordinator? Or, I know you didn't preach that.
I'll say
that
again.
When you did talk to Spagnuolo about coming in, were you open at that time? To him becoming a coordinator,
I just thought the two of them together just would be tremendous. They've got a great relationship. It's the same defense, you got two great coaches. So that's how I felt about it. Go ahead.
If Juan was going to be the defensive coordinator all along, and there was that speculation out there, then how come you didn't, through statement or whatever?
Listen, I told everybody knew that I was going to step back, starting with myself, right? Because I've always told you that. 8-8 isn't Juan Castillo and Marty Morningwig. And you better look in the mirror first. And so I needed to do that. And so that's where I started first. And some of that I don't share with people. I just do and analyze and go through it. I surely didn't want to put you in a position like last year that I did with Sean McDermott, where you felt like things were happening and so I wanted to make sure I stepped back. I looked at it, analyzed every phase of it, offensively, defensively, special teams, and first starting with Andy. So that's how I went about doing it.
Where there's confusion then is if you didn't go there with Juan and he was coming back, it seems like Juan was confused about this. Did you not communicate to him directly? Because last week he was telling people he doesn't really know exactly what his status still was.
Yeah, well, I never went there. I never talked to him about that part. As far as status or anything else, I didn't talk to Marty about it either. So I don't know if you asked Marty, maybe you did, but I don't know that. But I didn't really go with anybody in that direction. So
that there might have been a change or that he just didn't know?
He could have assumed that. I don't know. I don't know exactly what he said either. So, but you probably asked him the question. So I don't know that. But I think they all knew that I was stepping back and analyzing things. And that's the important part.
When you do analyze Juan's first year, and I think there's a lot of scrutiny on him because it was such a dramatic change for him from going from the O-line to defensive coordinator, what did you see that he did? Is it continuity? Is it something else that makes you confident bringing him back for 2012?
Well, listen, I saw us get better. And I said before, we had some moving parts on the defensive side. I understood that. And I knew it would take a little bit of time to come together. Or that's how I felt. I mean, you never, you know, I'm not sitting here with a crystal ball. So, but I anticipated that it would take some time to bring together. So, you know, that's, and then I saw progress. And you saw, I liked the schemes that we were teaching them. I liked the way we went about executing the schemes. You could tell that the players were all in. I think, and there's some ex-players out here, and they can vouch for this, that if there's an issue and somebody doesn't know, a coach doesn't know what he's talking about, the players will normally voice that opinion. And so the players were all in, and they believed in Juan and the scheme that he was doing. And I think it ended up working the way we had hoped it would work a little bit earlier, and it didn't.
Every year is a fresher year, whether it's a coach or a player. But because Jeffrey Lurie came out and made a rare appearance to the media and said this team as it is unacceptable, do you feel even more pressure now in 2012?
Now listen, I'm gonna tell you, I'm not a very patient person when it comes to winning. That's why we're in this business. We want to win every game. So there's no more pressure than there has been. That's why we do this. We do this to bring a championship to the city of Philadelphia, to get the ring. That's why players play. That's why coaches coach. And when we go about our business in the offseason, that's how we do it. And we crank on that. There are a lot of hours that are involved in it. So I don't really – I'm going to come back to you. So I really don't, you know, I understand where he's coming from. I'm right with him on that. He didn't say anything in there that ruffled my feathers or anything else. I completely agree with him. And, I know that's how the fans feel. I understand that. I completely understand that. And it's a frustration. I understand that. And so my point is that we're going to bust our tail and get it right. That's where I'm at.
One of those things Jeffrey said was that there was a miscalculation in terms of implementing big scheme changes in a lockout season. Would you go that far? I mean, you said you thought it would take a while. Did you think maybe you guys did too much last offseason that maybe?
Oh, listen, I would tell you there were moving parts. I would, in particular on the defensive side, there were a lot of moving parts with new players and yeah, but all those are, from my standpoint, from a coach's standpoint, those end up being, those are excuses for me to sit up here and say that. It's a different seat than Jeffrey sits in. He makes that, you know, that this is his football team, so that's what he does. But from where I sit, I can tell you the same things I told you during the season, that there were moving parts. I anticipated the offense to be a little bit ahead of the defense and to allow the defense to grow because of the moving parts. And we didn't do that. We were 30th in the National Football League in turnovers. Okay, well, that you can't do that. So and I'm responsible for both of these things, for the whole shebango there. So I would just tell you that I don't want to sit up here and give you any excuses. I don't want to do that. But at the same time, I'm very optimistic going forward. I feel very good about going into next year. I know there's a lot of hard work. I know there are things we have to correct. The positives were we had some young players in here that got better and showed what kind of football they can play. Michael Vick, it's his first offseason with us since he's been here as a starter, which is an awesome thing. You know, Howard Mudd's coming back as the offensive line coach. That was an unknown going into this. So We weren't sure exactly how many years we would have him, so that's a plus. We'll be able to keep continuity up front. We've got some good young players there that improved, and we're going to attack free agency and the draft aggressively, like we have in the past. I know Joe made a couple statements about the pool of players out there is tremendous, and so Howie and I are going through and we're evaluating those guys, and making sure that we get those guys down and that we know them like the back of our hand, and then be selective there, right? Be selective in who we bring onto this football team, and then we've got a ton of draft picks that Howie's accumulated over the last couple years, so we can go in aggressively with that, and so there's some optimism. Does that mean I'm happy about the 8-8? No, I'm not happy about it, but I'm not going to sit here and cry about it either. I'm going to go forward and attack that issue of getting better for next year.
What job did you offer Spags specifically? Was it to be defensive?
Well, listen, we never got into that. Remember now, this Spags and I talk all the time. That's an important part of this. So, when he was released, you know, I obviously talked to him. I said, you know, if you'd like to come back here, this door is always open. You know, you and Juan would be spectacular together, no different than what I'm telling you here. And, he wanted to think about it for a while, and then he had an opportunity to take a couple looks at other places. He knows how things operate here, so he went and looked at other places and never came in. He didn't visit here. So he went and visited other places, and he loved the situation in New Orleans, and I'm happy for him, right? We're still friends, so until we play him next year, but we're still friends, and I wish him the best.
Andy, do you think Michael Vick believes cutting down on the turnovers is as important as you do?
Well, I do. I think he understands that, and not that every one of them was Michael Vick's, but there were too many. I think he would tell you the same thing. I'm not saying anything different than I think he would say and how he feels. I think this offseason will give him a great opportunity to go back and study those things, what you can do and what you can't do, how to move subtly in the pocket to make throws so the ball might not be tipped, whether it's a screen, whether it's a short intermediate pass, the timing of each route and getting it coordinated with your two receivers that really weren't in training camp, how important that is, right? Absolutely important. And then one thing I thought that he really learned this year, how to utilize that tight end. We gave him more opportunities to do that as coaches, which I thought was important. And so Brent ended up having a pretty good year. But there are some things that he can specifically attack this offseason, and he's in the right frame of mind to do that. He's been in constant communication with me since the season's been over, and he is ready to go. Now we have some new rules on the three different phases that we can have in the offseason that are a little different than seasons before, but he's ready to get in and get better.
What about playing a different style and not taking so many chances and taking so many hits and being able
to... Well, listen, I think Michael would tell you this. You look at the last four teams that we're playing in the playoffs here, and all four quarterbacks didn't miss a start. So he's aware of that, and he understands how important he is to this football team, that he's healthy. So, and that means as healthy as you can be playing this sport, but where you limit your some of the contact points that he had, and I think he was able to see that this year. Now, does that mean he's never going to run the ball again? No, I wouldn't. I'd tell you, I'm sure he's going to run the ball. But when you do that, is there a time to get out of bounds and a time to get down? Absolutely, so that you live to play the next play.
You did step back to evaluate things. You said you started with yourself first. Was there ever a question in your mind that you want to be back in this spot where you are right now?
Well, the primary thing was that I could do my job to the best of my ability. Was I doing my job to the best of my ability? and or, you know, what could I improve on? Where did it, why did we end up being 8-8? You know, why did we start off 1-4? Why did that take place? You know, what can I do different during the new rules of training camp? All those things. But you put a, as a head coach in the National Football League, if you do it the right way, you better be putting the pressure on yourself to figure those things out and to make sure that you're presenting things and teaching things the right way to your players. Are you demanding enough on the players? Are you too hard on the play? You know, you got to find that, that balance to make sure that it's right. And so I made sure I stepped back and did that. You know, you come off a season, and those press conferences the day after the season ends, you're tired and you're coming off a lot. You haven't made the playoff. You're probably not in the best position to sit in front of you guys here and give you the whole scoop, exactly what you're thinking. So this bought me time to step back and look at all of that and go forward.
Andy, was there a time when you had to think about whether or not you should be back or you wanted to come back? Was there any doubt about that in your mind during that evaluation?
No, there wasn't. But I wanted to make sure I stepped back and looked at it. I want to make sure that I can still do the things that I think are the responsibility of the head coach for the Philadelphia Eagles to win the championship, the Super Bowl. So that's what you do. You step back and analyze those things.
In the same way, Jeffrey would talk to us, said that he stepped back and had to analyze things for a little bit too. Was there ever a point in your mind where you wondered whether he would want back?
Well, Jeffrey was very, very good throughout the year. Now, he's very competitive too, so he wants to win. I think in this business, you understand that. It's a business, right? So as close as Jeffrey and I are, as close as Joe and I are, I understand the bottom line is to win football games. That's why I'm here, to win games and inevitably win a Super Bowl. And so I'm real about that. And I'm very stand up about this. I'm not afraid to stand up on and look at that in the face. So, but I understood his disappointment. I think he understood my disappointment. I think he sees that going forward we have an opportunity to do some good things. And you know, so, and now listen, I'm kind of speaking for him here, but that's why I think that I'm sitting here at this time. So,
Andy, your decision to tell us about the interest the organization had in Steve seems rooted in a forthcomingness that doesn't usually exist. Yet obviously there's only so far you can go. Are you trying to be more forthcoming with these press conferences?
That's a good question. Good question. Thank you. Well, I wasn't until I saw Bob not let the lady talk first, and then that kind of upset me just a little bit. No, I am. No, listen, I am. Am I trying to do that? No, I'm telling you the truth is what I'm doing. So there are times you have to understand, and when I say the press conference directly after the season, you have had no time to really put everything together. So, and you guys are eager. I mean, you're doing a job. You're under pressure yourselves to make sure that you're doing your job. So you're going to throw fastballs at me, and there's just a time where you have to buy time and step back to give you the right answer. So I tried to do it a little bit different this year than I did in the past years. I just didn't think that was a smooth transition into the off season. I felt like if I stepped back, I could kind of analyze things and then present it to you and in a better way.
Why do you handle them the way you do? And of course, as you said, fastballs are coming at you. That can't be comfortable. But it does seem you take a particularly aggressive approach sometimes to questions. Why do you handle it like that?
Well, listen, that's a good question. And that my primary thing here is to win football games for the city, for the organization, for the city of Philadelphia. At the same time, I'm juggling a lot of different players, a lot of different personalities. And it's important that you stay together as a team. And so many questions are directed towards players, my opinion on them, directed towards coaches and my opinion on them. Well, it's important that I let those players and coaches know my feeling. Once you take it out of that, then the team doesn't hang together any longer. Once the head coach starts dispersing things amongst the multitudes, then all of a sudden the team starts to dismantle. Then you have players that are going to criticize players, players that are going to criticize coaches, coaches that are going to criticize. And you don't maintain that unit that you need to win in this league. So it's not that I'm being mean or rude or that. I'm trying to make sure that, number one, that we stay together as a football team.
Last year, do you think continuity on the roster is at all important? Or will you not hesitate to make as many changes on the roster as you did last year?
Well, I think we have a good nucleus of people under contract or in a position where we can keep them here, right? So, and then we're going through that process right now of looking at that. But I think we've got a good young nucleus we've been able to bring in here over the last couple of years that can help us, down the road here. But again, now you remember we've also got not only free agency coming up, but we've also got the draft and we've got a number of draft picks. So we want to try to utilize those the best way we can.
Was the whole, you talk about looking in the mirror and analyzing everything and evaluating yourself. I assume you do that to an extent every year, every off season. But how different was it this year? Did you find that you had grown stale in any ways, or how different was the process of analyzing yourself?
I think you had to divide some things up, and you had to separate the last four games. Because I felt one of the positives were, as a coach, as a head coach, as coaches, and as players, if you are stale, then that thing never comes to fruition there. You're going to lose the last four games as opposed to winning. Because you're not being able to communicate with players and keep them all together. All right, so, but then you take the first five games, and you go, you better analyze those babies right there, because that was not a good pitcher, and what happened there, and try to be real. So you start with yourself, your presentation, your training camp, your presentation to the players. Were you trying to do too much offensively, defensively? So you go through and you analyze that, and try to come up with an answer.
That when you were doing this self-scouting, that you did anything this past year that was not in tune to what you had normally done, that you deviated from some areas?
I think the obvious is training. You go back to training camp. Training camp was different by rule, and then because of the lockout, we didn't hit, and we didn't push it like we normally push it in training camp because we didn't have the players, and you had to worry about injury and so on. You look at that part. It was different. Not that it was different than what other teams do, but it was different from what we do. So the guys coming back, they're looking at it and going, yeah.
And you regretful at all about the state of the relationship between yourself and the fan base? It seems like it's kind of been more and more strained as your time here has gone on.
Well, listen, I think the fans are... They want to win a championship. Do I completely understand that? I completely understand it. I'll tell you, on the other hand, when I'm out in public, the fans have been tremendous. They've been good to me. So I appreciate their support, them showing up to games, and one of the things we've looked at is our home record, doing better at home. Got to do a better job with them. We finished strong at home, but we got to do better at home throughout the season. But do I understand? Absolutely, I understand. I understand that. I've always said the fans and myself are on the same page as far as when we stink. I'm probably the first one that knows we stink, and the fans are right there with me, right? And when we do good, they, you know, it's the same way. So,
jump back to Steve just one moment. There's a difference between saying we'll take you back and do one example. But is there any way you could have been a little bit more aggressive in your conversation with him and say, listen, whatever else is out there, we'll top that offer. We want you back here. We'll do anything we can to get you back here.
Yeah, that's how he felt. He knew that. So I talked about that. I'm not going to get into exactly what we said. I've never done that. I mean, that's just not where I go. But I didn't just say this was the doormat come lay on. That's not what it was. I'd invited him back. So.
And Jeff talked a lot about accountability in his press conference a couple of weeks ago.
I'm sorry, I missed the first part of that.
Jeffrey Warner spoke a lot about accountability last time he talked with us. Do you feel that since Todd was really the only significant change on the coaching staff, that now your future here is kind of tied to the performances of Juan and some of the other coaches still on staff?
Well, listen, I don't think it's any different than in years past. I'll be the first to tell you that I'm responsible for how my coaches perform. I'm responsible for how the players perform. I would, you know, and Jeffrey said it exactly right. And I understand that. I completely understand that.
Andy, you talk about turnovers.
When you were analyzing the turnovers, and obviously you turned the ball over too many times, but there was a lot of them, not to use this as an excuse, were kind of freaks. I mean, some you earned, but some just incredibly strange bounces. Every season is different. Did you take away from that we had not only some bad play, but we had some pretty bad luck? This was a season when things just didn't go well, when you were analyzing some of those turnovers.
Well, there's a little section. You've got to have a little luck in this game. I mean, I think everybody that's played it understands that. The ball's got to bounce the right way in a few different situations. But that's a few different situations, right? That's not being 30th in the National Football League in that category. So, and there are no excuses for that many turnovers. Zero excuses for that many turnovers. But to answer your question, there is a little luck involved in certain situations. Yeah.
Your moving parts. Do you think with the amount of moving parts you had last year, both coaching and players, that maybe your desire to win led you maybe to overestimate how easy and how quickly those moving parts could be put into sync?
Well, I think the best thing I can tell you on that is, I'm kind of reiterating what I said before, is I knew there were a lot of moving parts on defense. I understood that. And so I felt that would take some time. How much time? You don't know that. But you felt like it would take some time to get everybody working and pulling, you know, the rope in the same direction. I'll come back to you. On the offensive side, really everybody was coming back. Now, we did have a new line coach and a new scheme up front. But it wasn't that dramatic. So I anticipated the offense carrying the defense, allowing the defense to grow. And that didn't happen, right? So did we function, if you just take the yards, did we function at a high level? Yes. But, you know, there were a bunch of things there we can do better. And in particular in crucial times, fourth quarter, red zone, turnovers, you know, all those things. We got to do a better job there.
Do you have any reason for
optimism? It's been about a month since the season ended with Deshaun and his situation with free agency coming up.
Well, listen, I was proud of Deshaun for standing up, and, you know, I thought he matured or showed maturity this season. I think he's done that every year he's been here, but he showed it, stood up and admitted to everybody that he didn't handle things the right way. I will tell you, the last six games, he did a nice job for us. So I was proud of him for that. We're going through all of that right now. So we're looking at everything right now. We haven't come to any conclusions on anything, but we're going through that. But again, you saw progress there. You saw a different attitude the last five or six games there, and you've got to make sure that you look at that part too.
Such as
you've been hanging on.
Do you see this coming season kind of as a make or break season for you as far as like going deep in the playoffs?
Well, I think every season's that way. I think every season you come out and you, as a coach and a player, it's a make or break season. That's how you look at it. And if you don't, you're wrong, right? You've taken the wrong approach. And that better drive your tail through the off season, where you busted every minute that you have an opportunity to bust it to get yourself right when you come in here as a player. You better do the same thing as a coach. You better get yourself right and make sure that you study, spend the time at it, know your football team, both personnel-wise and scheme-wise, better than anybody. That's how you have to approach it. If you don't do that, that's a wrong way to go.
Andy, I wonder if you could talk about the organization's value of linebackers. Howie recently said that he does not believe the organization devalues the position. When you look at the draft picks, particularly first and second rounders, and maybe in particular free agent signings, it seems hard to imagine that the organization does not, comparative to other teams, devalue the position. Could you talk about that, please?
Well, listen, the thing I can tell you is we did draft a couple guys, and not that they were first-round picks, but we've drafted some young guys there. We understood that the safety position and the linebackers were young guys, and so we decided to go that direction. And you saw growth in those positions, something that should help us down the road here into this next season and seasons on here. So we don't disvalue that position or devalue that position. That's not where we're at with the linebacker position.
After the season Deshaun had, the highs and the lows, can you commit to him long-term after that kind of year?
We're going to go through and look at all that. I really haven't got to that point. I've been making sure that we get, we're kind of analyzing the free agents. We're analyzing what we did. We went through our team, and then we're going to analyze the draft, and then you kind of put all that together and talk through it, and where you have a feel on kind of the whole picture of the personnel side of it.
You promoted Anthony last week in the scouting department. You brought in Rick, who has obviously a lot of scouting experience. Howie was down in Mobile saying that he felt that the team needed to do a little bit better job on the higher picks, defensive side especially. Did you feel that way too? I mean, were some of these moves made toward doing a little bit better job in the draft on those higher picks and on the defensive side?
Well, Ryan Grigson got it. He became a GM, so that kind of snowballed this into to effect. But I'll tell you, Rick has got great experience, and then Anthony Patch has done a heck of a job for us. I mean, he started out as an intern, has worked his way up, and really done a nice job over the years for us. So I think that both of those two are quality evaluators. And do we need to do a better job? Absolutely. We need to do a better job in the personnel department as we do in the other areas. So that's what we're working on.
Of where what the problems have been in the past few years with analyzing some defensive side of the talent, especially in those early rounds? Or
well, yeah. I mean, listen, I think we've still got to see about Brandon, where Brandon's at just because of the injury. I thought his last pass rush before he got hurt was his best pass rush, so I thought he was making progress there. So we'll just see how things go. And then, time tells. You'll have to see over the next 3-4 years how things go with that. But can you always do – yeah, you analyze all that. Can you do better? Yeah, you can do better. So you go back and you try to improve in all areas.
Todd's pedigree and experience, was there any thought to having him become the defensive coordinator? And do you have any fear, given that experience and pedigree, that players might start gravitating towards somebody like that?
No, I don't worry about that at all. I know what kind of person Todd is, I also know how strong Juan is, right? So I'm Juan is a heck of a leader of men. And the players believe in him, and they as Todd does. In the coaching profession, I think as you talk to coaches that know this situation here, that they can tell you, they've studied us and the teams that have studied us, and they can tell you that we're pretty solid. Now, I know the perception. I understand that that's out there. I think that's different within the coaching ranks. And so Todd obviously has respect for the things that we're doing here, wants to be a part of it. He's positive and upbeat about it. I know how much our players care about Juan and respect Juan, and so I don't worry about that at all. Juan's the defensive coordinator.
Will Todd have any input into weekly game planning, anything like that, a heightened role above secondary coach?
Well, that's what you do as a staff. I mean, if somebody has something to say, you put it out there, and you do that. That's how it works. And I will tell you, he has got great experience, right? So that's a positive. And will he have input? Absolutely. I mean, he and Juan will talk. They'll communicate. Absolutely. So that can be taken two different ways. But I expect him to share his ideas. Absolutely. Yeah, that experience, I think, is very valuable.
Two guys had some significant surgeries, it sounds like. Do you have any sense of what their timetables are regarding mini camp, training camp, those two?
You're saying with Dixon and
Jamar Chaney and Brent Celek.
Okay. Chaney is doing good. I mean, he can't do much right now, but he's doing good. They say the surgery went well. I don't think we'll know here for a little bit. Likewise with Celek. He was up and moving right away, so even though he's on crutches, or he's off the crutches, he looks like he's moving around pretty good. So we'll see. He had two things done, so it was a little different
setup.
Patterson had the surgery. I talked to him, might have been yesterday, and he's doing very good. Early, they had him sedated pretty well. I want to say, what was it, Friday, Derek? I think it was like Friday of last week. So, but he's doing well. Yeah, very upbeat and positive. So, and they were able to get to they had to dig. It was a very long surgery, so they had to dig in there to get to the spot. They felt like it was successful.
I mean, as far as you know,
training camp, I think he'll be good, unless there's a setback of some kind. But the doctors were optimistic that that he would be able to get himself back for training camp.
Spagnuolo, were the parameters that if he were to come on board that Juan and Wash would be a part of it?
Oh yeah, uh-huh.
Do you think that would have hindered him from?
No. I'm not going to get into all the. It wasn't. Spags is okay with he loves Juan and they have a great relationship and he respects Juan like no other, and Washburn he knew from the NFL Europe, so they had a relationship and so he felt comfortable there. So he was good. He just he had a couple of other opportunities to go out and look at things, and he liked one of them, so he ended up. End up taking it, and like I said, that's great for him. That's a great thing for him.
All righty, that is head coach Andy Reid with a 49-minute press conference. That's unprecedented for the head coach. He will join us in studio here in just a few moments. Andy Reid making nice with the media. Very informative stuff there. We'll talk to Andy Reid, get your reaction. Eagles Live continues in just a moment. I'm Dave Spadaro. Hang in there. Andy Reid in studio next.
You can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
40 years. 14,610 days.
1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you needed. The G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
It's time for the annual shareholders meeting. There'll be the usual presentations on research and development. Some new members of the team will be introduced. The chairman emeritus will distribute his usual wisdom. And you? Well, you're the chief life officer. You just need the right professional to help you take charge.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro here. It's Eagles Live. Gregory in Massachusetts joins us as we wait for head coach Andy Reid. Gregory, hi.
How you doing, Dave?
I'm good. How'd you think the coach did?
I thought the coach did great, man. I thought it was a really long press conference.
Yeah. Saying that the team reached out to Steve Spagnuolo, which very forthcoming. And I thought he was very forthright and honest and engaging and informative, and basically said all that I expected him to say, if not more.
I agree with that. I also think that, you know, it's interesting that it almost like the Eagles never get a chance to retool. You know, we're so used to the team doing well every year that, and it was interesting at the beginning of last year. I thought, wow, you know, a lot of pressure being put on this team, a lot of moving parts, and a lot of new coaches and young guys, and they really did come together at the end of the year. I mean, they were playing with a lot of spirit, and they were getting after it, and there weren't any loose balls. All the tackles, four or five guys on a tackle. The game plan seemed to work with the personnel. You know, a lot of gelling.
I agree, and what you're saying is that you think the chemistry is improved. I really thought they were a team that just didn't know each other until midway through the season. You know, so many new faces, no training camp, at least a long training camp, no OTAs, very short period of time to get to know each other. And it wasn't, this is the defensive number, it wasn't just the defense, it was the whole team, I thought, just really played well. But the key here is this, and we've talked about this, Gregory, for years. Whatever Andy Reid's going to do here, they have to start strong. They cannot start in these holes.
These holes
are just too deep to climb out of. And so whatever he has to change, they got to come out firing next year.
You know, I would say, like, he said one thing that really kind of, you know, I know it was a small thing, but, like, owning the home field, you know, like, just start there. It's like we don't lose at home. And just because there used to be a time, man, when – you know, people feared it, you know, coming in to Philadelphia in a really big way, you know, and I thought that they kind of feared us at the end of the season. Like, no one really wanted to play the Eagles, and you could hear it with the national media. They were saying, well, you know, the last team you want to play is the Eagles. You know, if they get into the playoffs, you know, who knows,
right?
And
and that's why you want to get into the playoffs. That's why you want to. You have to get in there. You have to get a chance. You have to give yourself a chance. And the Eagles just couldn't dig themselves out of it. They couldn't dig themselves out of it.
No doubt. Dave, I'm going to let somebody else jump in here, man. You have the best show, period.
Thank you.
You guys rocked all year. I almost made it to training camp.
Please do, Gregory. Get down here next year.
I'm going to come down and say hi, man. I just want to say thanks for a great year. I'm tuning in until you guys tune back in.
Thank you, man. We're always going to be live here. Thanks, Rigger. I think we have a long period of quiet. Maybe some dribs and drabs of news. It's going to be a long, tough time between now and the start of free agency. 215-339-6709. Andy Reid has ducked into a meeting. Not sure if we'll be able to get him today. If not, we'll get him in the near future. I think he said, I honestly don't even know what I can ask the guy. It's no big deal. If we can get him, we'll get him another day. Yeah. Tell him that. It's no big deal. Yeah, just go find him. Just text him that. Text him that. Let's go to Steve in Alabama. Steve, hi there.
Dave.
How you doing,
man?
Everything's good?
That was a real encouraging word from Andy Reid right there, man. And I'm happy.
Good. Good.
It shows that I guess he did, you know, he just stood back, like he said, and
well, I don't think
everybody was nervous. It was jarring our nerves. That's what.
Yeah,
the team.
Nobody was trying to hide anything. I think it was just a matter
of
he wanted to fill out his staff completely, go through all of his options, look at the big picture, and actually come to the table with some answers. And I would rather have waited and for today and had gotten some answers, which I think we did. Than have a half press conference where there's a lot of I'm not going to go there. That just frustrates people.
Yeah.
So I thought it was good. Now let's see what they do. I mean, let's see what this team does, where this team gets better. And you know, look, we all know that this defense needs to take the football away more. This defense needs to get out of the red zone with less damage. This defense needs to be better against the run. The offense must be better in the red zone. The offense must not turn the football over as much. The offense must be better in short yardage. And the offense
must stay healthy.
And that was my last point. Offense must stay healthy. Yep.
We'll see from here. I mean, I feel the guy, what's the guy's name from Miami?
Todd Bowles.
I feel he may be a good guy for Juan to be next to, you know what I mean? And he has veteran guys, veteran coaches all around him, and this is his second season. And you really can't tell off of just one season how a coach is. So he's getting another chance. And, I mean, I'm excited, to be honest with you after that. I'm excited. So I'm ready for free agency and the draft, and that's it.
Yep. Hey, Steve, thanks, man.
Right,
thank you for the call. Let's take a little break here. I believe that Juan Castillo, is he going to speak here? Or is he? I'm not sure. There's a bunch of media gathered outside our hallway, which we can actually show you with that camera if you want. Oh, there's no media there? Oh, maybe he's not speaking. Yeah. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, more phone calls from you. More going on here with the Philadelphia Eagles. Reaction to Andy Reid's press conference live right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Each one of us is our own boss. And no matter where you are in life, ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
Papa John's, the official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles, asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, I mean touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
Well, hello, Eagles fans, and welcome to the Bauhaus Hotel here in Mobile, Alabama. Bo Wolf joined by Eagles General Manager Howie Roseman. Howie, first of all, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here.
Let's talk Senior Bowl, first of all. Obviously, this is about as busy as it gets for you up until draft time. Take us through what your day is like from when you wake up to when you go to sleep.
Well, it's all about the players here and finding out as much as possible as we can on the players and adding to our surplus of information that we've had. We've been following these guys sometimes for 2-3 years, and then we get an opportunity to see them in this environment against good competition and get a chance to spend a couple minutes with them at night, ask them some questions, and it leads into the combine and the whole draft process.
When you're talking to these guys off the field, what do you hope to learn from them and what impresses you?
Well, we ask them a variety of questions, some personal, some professional, some basically about where they come from. Maybe they had some incidents in college or before that that we'll try to get to the bottom of, or really dive in deeper as we get through the process. So it's the first stage of what is a long process and an exciting process for us in the jobs and roles we have, and as well as for Eagle fans.
And then as for the action on the field, you know, from my novice scouting perspective, it seems like there are some positions you can learn a little bit more about from, you know, maybe offensive, defensive line. You know, I have no idea what the linebackers or safeties, where they're supposed to be. Is that the case? Are there some positions you can learn a little bit more from?
Yeah, no doubt. And the other thing about it is, for some of us, you know, I went to a number of schools in the fall, but some of these guys I haven't seen live yet. So you have this impression of what they look like physically, and you get down here and you go, man, that's a big guy, or he's a little smaller than I thought. And then you see them in good competition in one-on-one drills, O-line, D-linemen, corners, receivers, inside run drills, all the things that you go through a practice that we'll go through here when we bring them to Philadelphia, the guys that we bring to Philadelphia. So it's a fun week.
How about for you in terms of when, you know, when you first started scouting guys, were there some positions you felt like you had a better feel for? Well, obviously, you've come a long way since then, but was it that way when you first started?
Yeah, no question. And I think one of the things that we do as a scouting staff is look back at the positions that we've graded and try to find strengths. So we try to put our cross-checkers on strong positions that they have shown an affinity for drafting in the past, and it's the same with me. I mean, there are certain positions that I feel like I have a better track record than others, and I'll kind of rely on the guys that I feel strong about if there's a little bit of an area of gray in terms of, you know, my kind of track record on it.
How about this specific draft class? Where is it strong?
Well, I think obviously at the top it's a strong draft. You know, as you get through it, there are certain positions that have more depth than others. You know, the wide receiver position throughout the draft is going to be a strong one, but that's always in years. You know, same thing, the running back class is a strong running back class. I don't think there's as much depth on the defensive line throughout the draft as maybe there was a couple years ago. I think it's kind of a similar situation to last year. But those guys, they go quick. So if you want one, you got to take them early.
So at 15, will there be elite talent there available?
No doubt. The 15th pick in the draft, obviously we don't want to be picking 15th, but because we're picking 15th, we're going to get a really good player.
Last 2 years, each of the first two draft picks, Jaquan Jarrett, Danny Watkins, Brandon Graham, and Nate Allen, have been guys who sort of stood out here at the Senior Bowl. Is that more of a function of the talent level that the Senior Bowl brings, or can guys really make that strong of an impression?
Well, I think it's a coincidence that we're drafting guys in the first and second round that came to the Senior Bowl in some ways, just in terms of their performance at the Senior Bowl is part of the process, but it's not going to take precedent over their track record. How many years they've started, their production on the field, everything about the player. When they have a good showing at the Senior Bowl, that just adds to their portfolio. But it is an important part of it. You know, the whole draft process, we talk about it, of coming together and putting it all together. And when you can check off each specific area, that makes you feel stronger about any guy.
And then obviously, you know, everybody's here Monday through Wednesday while they're practicing with the pads on. But what about the game itself? What can you learn from the game?
Well, I think it's another part of the evaluation process. You know, you get the practice, you see these guys in this atmosphere, in this environment, and then you want to see them play the game and play at a high level. And you just want to make sure that you take it all with the appropriate amount of grain of salt, because obviously they haven't played in these schemes with these coaches around these players, and they've been off for, you know, some of them have been off for a month.
Sure. All right, well, that's going to do it for part one of our interview with Eagles general manager Howie Roseman. Tune in later for more of a big picture view of what's going on with the Eagles.
We welcome you into the studio. Dave Spadaro joined by the voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese, the man who needs absolutely no introduction. Merrill, you going to watch the Super Bowl on Sunday?
Oh, absolutely.
You going to root for anybody?
Yeah, the Giants.
Are you?
I am.
Why?
Okay, is it all right for me to say because I like Tom Coughlin?
No, I hate the Giants. But no, I know people do.
You know, when you're in this business long enough and you make friends and you get to know people, I know Tom Coughlin. Do you know that Tom Coughlin was Marion Campbell's wide receiver coach? So that's how far back we both go. And he was Doug Flutie's quarterback coach at Boston College. It was way before he was the head coach at BC. And we used to talk about Flutie and whether or not he would make it in the NFL. And Tom was a really good guy, and I've seen him a lot of times since then. And I've always had a good relationship with him. So you root for people you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that doesn't mean that when the Eagles play the Giants,
of course
I don't want to see the Eagles crush the Giants.
Right.
But when I don't have any personal connections to the Patriots, and I do to Tom, and I talk to him from time to time.
Okay, let's segue to the Philadelphia Eagles. Andy Reid addressing the media on Tuesday. Your reaction to some of the things he said. A very open conversation, 47 minutes I think he went. This was an Andy Reid who really had some answers.
Yeah, I think he did. And I think that bringing in Todd Bowles is a significant move. And I think it may be more significant. The first question that I asked, the only question that I asked, really, I just sat back and enjoyed listening. But the only question I asked was, when you add a Todd Bowles, does he have a bigger role than just being a position coach? And Andy said, well, every position coach has input, and we'll see how much. But I think that a guy like Todd Bowles adds a lot of depth and experience to this coaching staff. And I know Juan Castillo is not a hardhead.
Mm-hmm.
Juan Castillo is not a guy who thinks, well, I have all the answers. And I think he's receptive to help. And I think that Todd Bowles will be a very positive, have very positive input to that coaching staff.
Merrill, did you see Juan improve a lot during the course of the 2011 season?
I watched the team.
Yeah.
I'm not privy to watching a coach on the sidelines or what decisions he makes or how quickly he makes them. I know, obviously, that he's popular among his players. And, again, we all know that the defense performed better later in the season, but we all know that the competition was of a lesser level also.
Yeah. Merrill, how far away are the Eagles? Is a team close to being a contender? You know, it's been an interesting 13 years. Rarely do you ever get into a cycle like this where the team is generally a playoff team every year. There's usually a rise and then a pretty dramatic fall and a rebuilding. And the teams that rebuild the quickest are the ones who then get back to the top, obviously, more quickly. The Eagles really haven't, quote, rebuilt, have not gone to the bottom. Had a couple of bad years. But this is an 8-8 team that had so many significant changes last year. Doesn't sound like there's going to be a tremendous amount of change this year.
Well, I think there will be. It doesn't have to be a lot of changes, Dave, but I think there have to be some significant additions. And we talked about it before. We've said it until we're blue in the face, mm-hmm, about this team needs an impact linebacker. This team needs some intimidation in the secondary.
I don't know where you're going to find that. We've been showing the list of free agents to be. There's just nothing really jumps out at you that says this guy. I mean, look at these. These are your outside linebackers. There's nothing that really jumps out at you and says, here is a difference-making player. To me, anyway.
No, I don't see anybody there, although I think Anthony Spencer is a good player.
As a pass rusher and a 3-4.
Yeah.
Leroy Hill, a good player. Ahmad Brooks, a good pass rusher. And then we look at the inside linebackers as well. And really, it just... some names.
Well, Curtis Lofton, I think, could be an improvement. Steven Tolick was a guy that was talked about coming here last year,
but not a game changing. Perhaps maybe they are, but they don't. They don't.
I mean,
strike you.
Patrick Willis,
right,
is not on that list.
Right.
Neither is Navarro Bowman,
right,
for that matter.
So then, where do you get this?
Ray Lewis seems pretty much stuck in Baltimore.
Yeah, unfortunately, they don't want to let him go. But it does make you wonder, how will the Eagles bring the defense up to where they want it to be?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they have some very good complementary linebackers. I think that Jamar Chaney has improved. And I think that Brian Roll showed a certain spark and a great amount of instinct last year.
And so did Casey. I thought Casey, in his role as a chase linebacker, you know, he can go out there and make some plays.
But he's not somebody you want starting in the middle of this defense.
No, no. Yeah, I don't know if you have the pure middle linebacker right now. I would agree with you. That's my biggest area that has to be shored up.
But when you said to me, can they be a contender? I think they were a contender going into this past year. I mean, if you said to me going into the year, were they as equipped to go far as the New York Giants? I would have said, Absolutely, yes. And they should have beaten the Giants not once, but twice.
Merrill, I can ask you this question. Why were the Eagles not in the playoffs? And you can say, as you would and I would, they turned the football over too many times. They lost too many
fourth quarter leads.
And I would tell you this. Maybe there's an intangible, and I want to get your opinion on this. I really think the whole Dream Team thing, I think it had a negative impact on the psyche of this team, on the locker room.
Because of the statement?
Yeah. And then the resulting media crush. Everything was Dream Team, Dream Team, Dream Team, Dream Team.
Yeah, but if Vince Young hadn't used the phrase Dream Team, somebody else would have come up with it in the media.
I'm not blaming Vince Young. I'm just saying I felt
you can blame Vince Young for some other things.
I felt it made the team very tight, very tense. I really felt that.
I don't know. I don't know that players think in terms of reputations or in terms of titles or nicknames that they get. I don't think they think in terms of that. I just think that what bothered this team was too many turnovers, and Andy acknowledged that, finishing 30th in turnovers.
Very explainable, all the tangibles.
If you go back to one game that I will just forever think about with such pain, it is that San Francisco
sure.
game. When they relinquished a 23-3 lead against the 49ers, to me, that just had a long, tough, painful effect throughout the entire season. That was the one game. You go back and win that game, and I think the whole season would have been different.
And in that game, right or wrong, Frank Gore said that the Eagles stopped playing. Right?
He said that.
Yeah.
He said that.
Well, I don't know if I believe it. I mean, I see Jeremy Maclin down there at the 30-yard line.
I know they stopped playing
having
well.
Having fumbled. Right. But I agree with you. That was the game that really...
That was really it.
And Arizona, too, Merrill. That was a...
Yeah, but not even as bad as the San Francisco game.
Because of the lead.
Because of the
and
lead.
And so many... So Alex Henry misses two field goals. The debacle on the goal line.
And you know what?
The defense is giving up...
You know, people... I've had people come to me and say, you know what? If they had held on to David Akers, you know what? Akers missed two field goals in that game.
Yeah.
One he missed, and it wasn't
blocked.
A long one, and one was blocked.
Yeah.
So he had to. I think that one of the best draft choices this team has made is Alex Henry.
Yeah, no
what
doubt.
What was he, 23 for 26?
Yeah, no doubt. Merrill, stay or go? Asante Samuel.
I think he will probably go.
DeSean Jackson.
I hope he stays. But I don't know. I will be almost surprised to see him back.
Evan Mathis.
I think he stays. I don't know for sure, but I think there's a chance. I don't know.
Backup quarterback, number two quarterback, who is it?
I think right now it's going to be Kafka.
They don't play the games right now.
Well,
is it somebody who is not on the roster?
Somebody
right
who
now?
Is not on the roster.
Okay. Backup running back.
Boy, I like Deion Lewis.
Yeah, so do I.
I really do. I think he's fine.
Starting middle linebacker.
Somebody who is not on the roster right now.
Okay. Starting safeties.
Kurt Coleman and Nate Allen.
Okay.
And maybe we'll see how Jaquan Jarrett benefits from an offseason and a full training camp. But in my opinion, Kurt Coleman and Nate Allen, and I think that that Kurt Coleman came a long way this year. I think that I still believe that in Nate Allen, you are looking at a future Pro Bowl player.
Okay. Well, Merrill, thank you. Thanks for coming in.
I'm welcome. I'm really looking forward to getting into the draft stuff and being with you on the draft
away.
The 26th, 27th, and 28th of April. Yes. I love the NFL draft, and I think we'll have a lot
All
of
right.
fun.
Early guess. What position do the Eagles take at 15? Just throw it. Means absolutely nothing.
Boy, I am a little early in evaluating this whole thing. I still believe that if there is a player that they deem to be an impact, I mean a real impact linebacker, and I don't necessarily mean Luke Kuechly from Boston College, because a lot of people say good things about him. I like him too. I worry about a 235-pound player transforming his skills to this league. But if there's somebody that they think is an impact linebacker, I think they would take a linebacker.
I'm going to go with safety. I don't know why.
Now,
or defensive tackle.
How about this? How about if DeSean Jackson does not come to terms with this team and they decide not to franchise him and he moves on as a free agent? Is there any way they could move up high enough in the draft to procure the services of one Justin Blackmon?
But you've got Floyd, you've got Alshon Jeffrey. I mean, there's other. Is Blackmon that much better than everybody else?
Yes. Blackmon, and I've watched him a lot. To me, Blackmon will achieve the status of a Calvin Johnson, an Andre Johnson.
But he's only 6'1".
Oh, but he jumps through the roof, and he's a big, big player. He's 215, 220 pounds. I mean,
he's not. He's 205 pounds.
Is that what I said? 2'5". Yeah. He looks big. Well, he's gained 10 pounds since that picture was taken, folks. He's going up to 215 without losing any speed. He's a great player.
All right, Merrill, I think we are going to thank you very much for joining
us
in the studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Now let's go to Juan Castillo.
In the offseason, and that we have to start like that. That's what is very important, that we start fast.
Did it bother you, though, when Mr. Lurie said that even though you guys won those last four, let's not fool anybody. We weren't playing the Green Bay's, Pittsburgh's, and Baltimore's. We were playing teams that we were supposed to beat.
Derek, here's what hurts is we're not in the playoffs. You know, we held the Giants to 10 points the second time we played them, you know, and they're playing in the Super Bowl and we're not. That hurts, man. You know, it hurts all of us and it affects our families.
Do you feel confident coming into the season? Do you feel confident that it's your defense, you'll be able to do whatever you want with this defense?
Well, you know what? We were talking about this earlier now. I feel real good. I played linebacker. You know, I can get up there and show you how to take on a block and everything. I tell you, the hardest thing was trying to get the players to believe that I could coach offensive line when I never even lined up at that position. That was tough, you know. That was a tough thing to do. But, no, we're ready, man, you know.
What have your talks been like with Coach Bowles and the time you've been able to spend with him over the last day or so?
You know what? Daryl Green and I played together. And Daryl knows Todd and Daryl played together. So, you know, we've talked a little bit. And then I think it was important for Daryl talk to Todd about myself so that Todd could know a little bit of what I'm about. And I think Leslie Frazier is another common friend. Leslie said, you know what, Todd knows who you are. And then we have a common friend down in the valley, you know, that we both know each other. So really, even though we don't really know each other really, really good as far as buddies or hanging out, you know, we have mutual friends and have mutual respect for each other.
He has quite a resume, Juan. He was the assistant, he was the head coach on an interim basis in Miami, and et cetera. He's been around the league a lot. So do you use him in a more advanced way than just a secondary coach?
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I think this is the way everything works is, you know, you have two secondary coaches, you know, with Todd, and you have a linebacker coach, and you have a defensive line. When you do a game plan, you use everybody. You know, no different. Jim Johnson had Ron Rivera, Leslie Frazier, Spags, Tommy Brazier. That was quite a staff. And really, John Harbaugh. You know, so what you do is you use everybody and it becomes a team. You know, no different than the whole defense being a team so that you can win a championship.
When you look back on your performance, the defense's performance this year, is there anything specific that you've pointed to that you think you're going to change for the next year to try to get obviously better?
The important thing is just to go back and analyze, you know, why it took us so long initially to get where we were. I know there's excuses that we can make, but we don't want to have those problems. You know, we want to make sure that we start off fast. You know.
Do you come into the season with any more of a chip on your shoulder from this offseason, people calling for your job and saying that you're not the best guy to lead this defense?
You know what? I think this is all of us, right? You know, I have four sons and I have a wife that I have to take care of. I'm not sure if you're married or you have kids. I think some of us here have families. Man, what do you do for your family? You know, how do you work for your family? You really don't need something like this to get you motivated to take care of your family, I don't think. You know, it's the same thing for me, man. I work my butts off because I want to take care of my family. I want to give them something that I didn't have, no different than a lot of people in Philadelphia. So, no, I'm just, you know, it's about taking care of your family and doing a good job and winning a championship.
Andy said he wanted to bring in an experienced voice, somebody you could bounce ideas off of, so on and so forth. How did you take that? Do you agree that's something that?
Well, you know what?
Needed?
That's the thing that's awesome is that, remember, I've been here a while, and I saw Jim Johnson with Leslie and Ron and Spags and Tommy Brazier, and then Then I saw Harbaugh over there, and then McDermott was over there. So I've seen that. I mean, how many head coaches are, you know, when you look at that, and really, let's see, Ron's a head coach, Les was a head coach, or is a head coach, John Harbs is a head coach, Steve was a head coach. So, I mean, that's four on that staff, you know, that were head coaches. So that's a lot of, I mean, that's a lot of brain power there.
At what point did Andy talk to you and say, all right, you're going to be the defensive coordinator moving forward? Did you guys ever have that conversation?
Well, you know what? Actually, you know, we're just, you know, I was just working, you know. I mean, Coach and I have been together for a long time. You know, I mean, there's really, you know, Coach wants to talk to me about something, he'll call me in and say this. And so for us, it was just important. The only thing that I could think about was we weren't in the playoffs. So it was important that we started work on trying to improve. You know, like right now in the mornings, we look at tape and you go through the season and you try to find the problems. Do you need to add a scheme? Do you need to take a scheme? Why are there mentals? So that's what we're already working on and trying to get that corrected.
So you were always comfortable that knowing that you were coming back, you were always comfortable in that knowledge?
You know, the thing is, you have to just keep working, right? And you know that, I mean, when you have a job, you know, usually if you're not going to be there, they're going to come and tell you, right? So you just keep working, you keep doing your job, and you keep believing in what you do. I mean, we all know that confidence is very important, and you can't fake confidence, you know? And we believe in what we're doing.
When you were at the Senior Bowl, you said, a couple of reporters asked you about that, and you said you'd have to go through Andy. Why did you say
that? Well, you know, it's really, I mean, it's Coach. Coach was the one that's going to have the press conference. You know, there's no need for me to speak out and say what Coach is going to say. You know, I have to be able to say, you know what, you have to wait until Coach speaks to him. I mean, that's, you know, that's the way it should be.
You did give the impression, though, that you weren't quite sure exactly where you stood at that point.
Well, you know, the impression can be taken however you want it. That's a tough question, you know, that somebody asked you, and really it's not your place to say that. I mean, what can you say, you know? So you just,
DC at the time, though, you can say, no, I'm still the DC, and nobody notified me otherwise.
Well, the thing was, is, you know, Coach comes out and talks, and I figured, you know what, when Coach comes out and talks to the media, well, then, you know, Coach can come out and say to the media. I mean, really, Les and Jeff and I were just kind of talking, you know. You know.
But were you unsure? Were you unsure if you were coming back when the season ended?
You know what the thing is that our job here is to win championships. You know what? And let's face it, all of us, our job is, you got to get the job done, right? We're warriors, right? Warriors, you got to get the job done no matter what. If you don't get the job done, then you have to be ready to accept whatever's going to happen. You got to be prepared for it.
So when you answered that question at the Senior Bowl, you knew at that time you were the defensive coordinator. You just didn't say that.
No, I just knew that I hadn't been, you know, they really hadn't said that I wasn't, right? So what I was doing is I was working my butt off. And what happens is, you know, I've been in the league now. I'm going on 18 years. And, you know, I know that I'm a good football coach. It doesn't matter what side of the football I am. So I knew that, you know what, if I'm going to be with the Philadelphia Eagles, I'm going to be with the Philadelphia Eagles. If not, well, you know, then not, you know.
So just to clarify here, when did you get the news officially that, you know, this is what we're going forward with?
Well, I guess you could say, I mean, probably when y'all heard it.
Okay.
I mean, that's fair, right? What's that?
You would have been comfortable on if they'd have brought in Spagnuolo.
Steve and I are friends. I mean, Steve has what we want, right? What I want on my resume is he won a Super Bowl. I mean, that's what you want. So, you know, I can understand that.
Juan, how will the past year of coaching help you in evaluating personnel for free agency, the draft, and building this team moving forward?
Well, I think that the key here is to understand is that now, you know, we've gone through it 1 year. You know, now we're going through our second year just in the scheme in itself, just understanding the nine technique, understanding what we're trying to do with it, the back end, you know, the verbiage, and then just understanding how we want our guys to play. I think when you watch them, all of us, you understand that we're playing fast, man. We're playing physical. And then be able to take care of the NFC East and win the East, and then win the you know, have the best record and continue just like our goals are.
Well, it's become along those lines of free agency and evaluating talent. I mean, it's kind of become a little bit of a running joke for the fans. Who's going to be the linebackers this week? And, you know, who's the seventh round pick getting linebacker? Do you want to be a little bit more stable there, and do you think you can?
Well, here's the thing is that I think what happened is that I think once we finished, mm-hmm. you know, you can ask some of those teams, and that is that what we did is we found something for each one. We found out what each guy can do the best mm-hmm. at this point, you know, and really Keenan really did an excellent job in dime package, you know. Casey came on. I mean, he was a young kid and did a good job in the sub, you know, and then B-roll, you saw him thing. So really by giving everybody a package, you know, really made everybody better, and that's something that we have to be able to identify early. Really, that's on me. I got to do a better job with that.
What does it mean, Juan, for Andy to give you the vote of confidence and bring you back in such an important year for him with his arguably his head coach?
What it means is that we got to bring a championship to Philadelphia, and I got to make sure that I do the best that I can do to make it happen. Done. You know?
So you really didn't know until today?
Well, you did know.
You guys. Hey, man.
All right.
There you go.
Can you just tell us what you think Todd brings to your staff? You know, what